Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a classic funky drummer style break and turning it into a transition edit that feels properly old school jungle and DNB, but without wrecking your headroom. That's the whole game here. Make the break do more work, make the drop feel bigger, and keep the low end clean enough for the sub and bass line to slam when they need to. If you've ever built a transition that sounded exciting in solo, then suddenly felt smaller once the bass came in, this lesson is for you. We're going to use Ableton Live 12 to slice, rearrange, resample, and automate a funky drummer break into a reusable edit. The goal is not just to make it louder, the goal is to make it move. Start by loading a clean funky drummer sample onto an audio track. Pick a section with a strong snare identity, because that's the anchor. For jungle and old school DNB, somewhere around 170 BPM is a great working tempo, though anything in that 160 to 174 zone can work. Warp the clip so it sits nicely with your project, but don't overdo the processing right away. If the sample is already close to tempo, beats mode with preserve transients can be enough. If you need more stretch, Complex Pro can help, but use it carefully so you don't smear the break's body. One really important habit here is to keep the raw break conservative in level. Aim for something like -12 to -9 dB peak before you start processing. That gives you room to chop, duplicate, filter, and resample without running straight into clipping. In drum and bass, headroom is not a luxury, it's part of the sound. Now instead of treating the break like a loop, turn it into performance material. Slice it to a new MIDI track by Transients. This is where the fun starts. You want independent control over the kick, the main snare, ghost snares, hats, and little tail bits. If you want a more flexible setup, put those slices into a drum rack. If you want a simpler workflow, simpler is totally fine. The big idea is this: keep the identity of the original break, but make it editable. Don't destroy the groove, just make it playable. Organize your slices so you know which ones are the main hits, which ones are the ghost notes, and which ones are just texture. Then sketch a 2-bar MIDI pattern that feels like the original funk, but gives you room to shape the transition later. A good intermediate approach is to leave the main snare pretty intact and use the surrounding little hits to create motion. That's the secret sauce. Funky drummer has personality in the space around the main hits, so let that breathe. Use some groove from the groove pool too. Something in the 55 to 58% swing range on 16 THS is a nice starting point, but always listen. You want it to feel human, not gridlocked. Old school jungle gets its magic from that push and pull. Now build the first 2 bars like a proper groove, not a fill. The listener should still feel the rhythm pocket. Keep the main snare strong, use low velocity ghost notes around it, and place the hats so they dance a little without taking over. A good rough velocity idea is ghost notes around 20 to 50, main snares around 90 to 115, hats somewhere in the 30 to 70 range. And don't fill every space. Leave a couple of tiny gaps so the phrase can breathe. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They think more chops equals more energy. But in DNB, impact usually comes from contrast. One sharp hit can land harder than 3 extra slices. So on bar 2, maybe mute 1 kick, or swap 1 ghost note for a tiny reverse piece. That kind of move keeps the phrase alive without making it messy. If you already have a bass line in the track, check the break against that bass in context, not just in solo. That matters a lot. A good transition edit should feel like it's making room for the sub, not arguing with it. If the low mid area starts to crowd up, use clip gain and EQ first before you reach for more volume. Also, try testing the edit with the bass muted. If it only works when the bass is gone, the edit probably needs better mid-range discipline. Now we move from groove into transition. Duplicate the break track and make a second version that's specifically for the phrase change. This is the point where the loop becomes an edit. On this version, chop the last beat of bar 2 into smaller pieces. Repeat a ghost snare 2 or 3 times for a little roll. Add a reverse slice leading into the drop. Remove 1 kick or main snare hit if you need more tension. That tiny bit of absence is powerful. A really useful Ableton move here is to resample the edited break once you like the pattern. Print it to a new audio track. That way, you can arrange the result like a performance clip instead of juggling too many live slices. Often, resampling sounds more cohesive because the transient relationship is already baked in. It feels like one event instead of a bunch of separate edits. For the actual transition bar, think in stages. The first beat or two can still feel like groove. Then the energy starts to tighten. The middle of the bar can become a chopped roll or snare rush. The final beat can be a reverse hit, a small fill, or a final snare that points right at the drop. Then when the new section lands, keep it clean. Let the bass do the heavy lifting. Now let's talk headroom, because this is the part that makes the difference between a cool edit and a professional sounding one. On the edited break, use EQA to clean out rumble below about 25 to 35 Hz. If it sounds boxy, try a gentle dip around 200 to 400 Hz. If the top gets brittle, ease off the high end a little. You're not trying to make the break hyped, you're trying to make it controlled. After that, drum bus can be amazing here if you use it lightly. A little drive, a bit of transient emphasis, and maybe a touch of dampening to keep the top from getting too sharp. Don't go wild with the boom for this exercise, because the sub should stay separate and stable. If you need more control, a compressor or glue compressor on the break bus can help tame peaks. Keep the settings modest. You're usually aiming for just a few dB of gain reduction, not total squash. The key is that the transition can look dense and still be mix safe. What matters is not the visual size of the waveform, but how the peaks are managed. If your loudest transient is under control, the master stays happier, and the drop has room to hit harder. Now bring in automation, because this is how you build energy without just turning things up. Put auto filter on the transition track, and automate the cutoff so it slowly opens over one or two bars. Start a bit closed, maybe around 2 to 4 kHz, and let it open gradually. That rising openness creates movement without forcing the whole track louder. For extra space, use delay or echo on a return track, not directly on the break itself. Send only selected hits to it, especially the final snare or reverse slice. That keeps the groove clean while adding a little dubby jungle tail. A nice trick is to automate the send just on the final snare of the phrase, then pull it back right away. That gives you tension right where you want it, without washing out the whole break. A short reverb can work too, especially for a more old-school feel, but keep it controlled. Short decay, modest pre-delay, dark tone. The drums should still read clearly. In DNB, space should feel like a surge, not a smear. You can also get a lot of mileage from subtle width changes. Keep the main break fairly mono or narrow, then let a small stereo element open up right at the end of the transition. That contrast makes the drop feel wider when it lands. Another great trick is a reversed room tail or reversed break fragment tucked before the drop. That old-school suckin feeling is pure gold for jungle energy. Now tie the edit to the full arrangement. This transition isn't just a drum trick, it's part of the song structure. Maybe it leads into a sub drop, maybe it introduces a Reese response, maybe it sets up a switch from halftime feel into double time movement. Whatever the case, the edit should support the phrase change. A strong arrangement might look something like this: stripped intro, then a fuller groove, then a transition edit that builds tension, then a small pre-drop pocket, then the full drop. That little pocket right before the new section lands is incredibly important. Even a tiny gap or stripped beat can make the next hit feel huge. Remember, impact is often about contrast more than volume. When the bass comes back in, keep it mono safe and stable. If you've got a sub layer, use utility to check the width and keep the sub centered. The drums can be lively in the mids and highs, but the foundation should stay solid. That's how you keep the edited break energetic without stealing the low-end thunder. Once the transition feels right, print it, resample it, or consolidate it into one final audio clip. This is where your workflow gets faster. One clip, easy to move, easy to reuse, easy to label. Name things clearly so you can pull them into later sessions without hunting around. Something like Funky Drummer Edit A, Funky Drummer Roll Transition, Funky Drummer Reverse Lift, or Funky Drummer Drop In. Simple names save time later. And here's a big teacher-style reminder. Don't save your best transition only for one moment in the track. Use the same edit language throughout the arrangement. Bring a shorter version back later. Change it slightly every 8 or 16 bars. That keeps the track evolving and makes it feel like the same drummer is telling different parts of the story. If you want a slightly more advanced route, try making two versions. One version can be cleaner and more DJ-friendly for the intro and early sections. Another version can be tighter, denser, and more aggressive for the final drop lead-in. That way, the same source material serves different energy jobs in the arrangement. So to recap the core idea, take Funky Drummer, slice it into playable pieces, shape it into a transition edit, and control the peak so it doesn't eat your headroom. Use resampling, automation, and careful gain staging to make the transition feel exciting without flooding the mix. In drum and bass, the best edits don't just fill space, they shape the drop. For your practice, build three versions from the same Funky Drummer source. Make one clean intro version with minimal chops and lots of space. Make one mid-track energy switch with more ghost notes and a reverse element. Then make one drop leaden with the strongest transient moment, and a final half bar that really pulls forward. Keep each one in the same tempo context. Test them against the same sub and bass, and check them in mono at low volume. If it still reads when quiet, you've probably got it right. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, go back and refine the shape. That's the difference between a loud break and a proper jungle transition. All right. Now load up that break, start slicing, and make that funky drummer flip into something nasty, tight, and fully ready for the drop.